Welcome back to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Barbera, and in this episode, episode 25, I want to talk about renegotiating a contract. This is something that I've seen done very badly by some wholesalers, and very recently I've seen it done, so I figured it's probably a good subject to cover. So renegotiating is a big part of real estate investing, wholesaling, flipping, doing everything, right? You don't always get... So let me put it this way. When we get properties under contract, we tend to renegotiate quite a bit because we usually go on the first visit and get the property under contract, right? So this is why it's important to be able to be good at renegotiating. When you go to a property and you're doing your first visit, you don't want to really give the homeowner time to pretty much second guess their decision, which most homeowners do. Selling a house is a very scary thing for a lot of people to do. And procrastination is one of the biggest things that we all have in common as humans. We all procrastinate. Selling a home is one of the biggest things that we've seen people procrastinate on. So when you're there, they're interested, they're ready to, you know, do something. They called you because they want to sell, or you called them and they showed interest, whatever it may be, but they're interested in selling. You're there because they're interested in selling. You don't want to lose that interest. You don't want to lose that momentum that you've already got built up. So you want to get them under contract as quickly as possible. Now, this does not mean that you should not already know what is a decent price. I mean, this does not mean, like, we recently got a wholesale deal brought to us where they were asking for $200,000, ARV about $300,000, and the house needed at least $100,000, $110,000 in renovations. So that's not what under contract, you know, that's not what I'm referring to when I say get it under contract. I mean, get it on a contract where you know it kind of makes sense, where you're within the ballpark. You understand? It's fine to not know the other issues, right? It's a lot of times where when you're going to need to renegotiate is when you get it on the contract, you take it a title and there are liens or things come up at title, right? So then you might have to renegotiate at that point. You might have to come back and, you know, maybe there's some liens that need to get paid off. That can't get simply, you know, removed or put onto the homeowner where it's not on the property. Some liens need to get paid off. And we did an episode on liens, so make sure I'm going to link it below so you guys can listen to it. But, you know, you want to make sure these liens can be either removed or be taken care of. And that's something you're going to have to reevaluate at that point. Another reason is perhaps, you know, like what happens with me. I get a property. I got to go look at a property. I'll do some quick comps, right? So I want to know overall, what are the ARVs in the area? What's the after repair value in that area, right? So what am I looking at? Am I looking at granite countertops, wood floors, new windows, you know, crazy yards, or am I looking at just a clean house? What am I looking at with ARVs? So I just do a quick rundown. Then I go to the property and I'll negotiate it accordingly. But there's still, now that I went to see the house and I saw that, you know, the roof is actually a little older. The windows are maybe stained. You know, there's a couple things in there that are like, all right, well, maybe it's on a busier road than I thought initially. So I'll come back to the office and now I'll run more in-depth comps on this property to really nail it down because now I have a contract. One thing you just don't want to do is waste time running all this analysis on a house that you just don't have a contract on. Get an idea, get a ballpark, and then go lock it up. Don't waste your time trying to figure out every nook and cranny about this deal of how it's going to make sense because you're just wasting your time at that point. So that's pretty much how we do it, right? So I run some quick comps, and then I'll go and I'll negotiate it based on that. But then I'll go back to the office, and I'll start running a deeper set of comps, right? Now I start looking, how are the condition of the windows? How is the yard? How is this compared to my property? How does my property compare to the the ones that have sold for the most amount. And then I'll go down a tier, and maybe, you know, if I don't go as much, then what can I get? But it's going to depend on the quality of some of the maybe cabinets, flooring, whatever's already at the house. So this always tends to be a factor for renegotiation. But again, when you did your work initially correctly, your renegotiation should not be a drastic one. It should not be that you got it on the contract for, let's say, 100 grand, and now you got to renegotiate and bring it down to 60. You understand? Like, when I talk about renegotiating, usually, like, one that we're working on right now, we got it on the contract for 65, but it should really be closer to 55, 57, right? So that's how we renegotiate it to 55. You're 10 grand off. You know, but it's not such a huge drop of $30,000. You understand? So you that's why you want to be within the ballpark. Like, again, this other wholesaler, when he brought us that one for 200, I told him, I was like, unless you have this property in the low 100s, it's not worth anything. You understand? Like, I get it. You got it under contract, but it's not worth anything. So running the comps, verifying everything. And then sometimes, you know, what I used to do is when I used to get it on the contract, when I was wholesaling, is I would get it on the contract and then I'll start shopping it around right away to see if I even have any buyers within the ballpark. Because usually when you have sophisticated buyers, they'll be able to look at your pictures and know the areas where they'll tell you, now you're already too high because you're not accounting for this, this, or this, right? So I used to use that feedback to go back and renegotiate, because now I'm getting the feedback from my buyers, right? From the people that are going to come in and buy the home from me. So if they're telling me where pretty much they want it at and I can negotiate it a little bit below that, I'm guaranteeing myself that wholesale fee. So those are all the times that you want to renegotiate. How don't you want to renegotiate? You do not want to renegotiate over the phone, all right? You definitely don't want to renegotiate over the phone, because it's very hard to get anybody to, unless their level of motivation is really high, and unless if you built a great amount of rapport with them, negotiating over the phone may give them the time and the kind of like the way to not accept your deal right away. You understand? Because they'll be like, you know what? Oh, maybe I'm busy or whatever. Or they're going to make up whatever shit they want and say, I'll call you back tomorrow. I'll call you back the next day, right? Now you stand the chance of losing this deal, because now they're second guessing. Now they're like, man, you know, before I wasn't sure and it was going to be, let's say, for 100. Now they're trying to drop it to 85 or 90 or whatever it may be. It's less money. Do I really want to sell? You're giving them way too much time to just start procrastinating again and second guessing themselves. So don't do it over the phone. Don't do it through text messages. I've negotiated deals through text, not by choice, but just because there was no way to get this person to meet me. I mean, I've had people and they've been negotiated successfully where we bought the house. But it was all through text message. It's crazy. I don't recommend it, because I hate that. I mean, you can't see what's going on with the other person. And while I understand why for the seller it's appealing, because they have time to kind of process what you're telling them, it's a negotiator, as a salesman, that's not the way you want to sell or negotiate. It makes it very hard to do your job efficiently. And we're gonna cover that. But definitely not through text, and for sure not through email, right? You don't want to send them this long ass email with an addendum and all this, because when you renegotiate, at least here in Texas, we use, I always get them confused, an amendment. Yes. So we use an amendment. Those two, I always get them confused, but we use an amendment to amend the contract. Right. So we'll adjust the price if the closing date needs to get pushed. That's also another reason why you might need to renegotiate. You might need to extend the closing date. So we use an amendment to do this, right? Sending an amendment to somebody and expecting them to understand it. Again, contracts scare people. You understand? Contracts, I've sat down with hundreds of sellers. Every time I bring out the folder with the contracts, you see them start shifting in their chair and they get a little uncomfortable. And I understand it. I hate contracts too. I've always hated them. I used to, and I've said it before, not something that I'm proud about, but I used to have them pretty much. I used to build so much rapport that they would sign blank contracts because I didn't know how to fill them. And I would bring them back to my business partner and I would give it to him. And I'd be like, all right, so this is what we spoke about. These were the terms. These are everything. I just don't know where they go. So he would fill them out, right? Again, I don't recommend it. That's, I know it's not technically, you know, the best route and everything. We will go, we do always send all our sellers copy of the contract so it reflects everything we spoke about. But, you know, I hate contracts, right? Sellers hate contracts even more. And then if you can't explain it clearly, it's going to be very scary for them to be like, ah, I don't know, I'm signing this, or through DocuSign that a lot of people want to do it. And I feel a lot of times is because you're lazy. Right? You simply don't want to make the trip out there, especially if the house is a half an hour away, 40 minutes away, or the only time they can meet forces you to drive through rush hour. And I get it. It sucks. Find another line of work then. You understand? Because it's not meant to be easy. It's meant to be done correctly. So while I understand why this could be, you know, a pain in the ass and doing all this, you're still talking about a deal that's going to cost, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's going to make you thousands of dollars, hopefully, if you did it right. And you're not willing to put in that, you know, 30-minute, 40-minute car ride to go and get it done. I mean, it's kind of crazy. That laziness just blows my mind. But that is a reason. The way to do it 100% of the time is in person. The reason I like to do it in person is because I get to see their reactions as I'm presenting the deal to them. You understand? I can see if they're already in a pissed off mood from whatever the day is. I know how to diffuse that situation. I know how to explain it, how to work my way into it. You understand? If you call somebody or you text somebody, you got to be to the point. If you email somebody, you got to be to the point. You can't kind of chit chat and bullshit your way to the renegotiating point. You understand? So, but in person, you can. In person, you can do so many things to lead up to that renegotiation, which all of those things that you're doing is setting up the renegotiation. So it's easier for you to do. I mean, it's a very simple concept to understand. And it works every single time I do it. Every single time I have to renegotiate with somebody, you know, I've had people say, well, just give them a call and tell them this. No. I'm going to set up a meeting and I'm going to do it in person. One thing I recommend is don't set up a meeting saying you're going to want to renegotiate the terms. One thing I always tell them is, hey, you know, we got some information back from title and everything. I just need to meet with you so we can just go over everything and I can explain the process. Right. Or I'll make up some other shit like, you know, hey, I needed to go take a look at one more thing. I kind of overlooked something. I just wanted to make sure what year this is from or how big this is. I wanted to go measure your living room or the garage. Make up some bullshit, right? So you're not coming to a house, coming to a seller that has their guard up. You understand? You don't want them with their guard up when you're coming back. And you already have the property under contract. So to them, they already did the hardest part. You understand? They already accepted your deal. They accepted your terms. They accepted everything. And they accepted they're going to sell the house. So they have no more reason to be defensive with you unless you give them one. Don't give them one. This is all to set you up for success. So now you set up the meeting, you show up to the house, and then you start breaking the ice, right? You start whatever excuse you gave them, try to make sure that it's something that you can kind of deliver on. And then explain to them why you're actually there, right? Then tell them, okay, look, after reviewing the comps, I've realized that you have this, this, and this, you know, and unfortunately, the houses that have sold for this price have this, this, and this, right? So that's going to mean that's going to cost me an extra $10,000 to get this deal done, you know? So we need to, the new price for you is going to be this price. You understand? And then there's so many ways of different ways of going about it. The most recent one I did. So the most recent one I negotiated was these siblings that they're selling the house and they hate each other completely. They're getting, originally they were getting 65 for the house. That was the original offer. And we need to renegotiate to 55 because it's a very tight deal and it's just not worth our time if we're not going to make a decent amount of money that's going to be, it's going to make it worth our time to renovate this house. And there's some risk involved in the property, so we need to mitigate that risk. So the renegotiation needs to be down to 55. So at the 65, they were going to split that profit with each other, right? What did I do? I went back to the siblings and I sat down in person and I told them, I was like, hey, we just need to do this amendment to the property, to the contract and everything. What you're going to net now from the sale, I know we talked about this and this, but what you're actually going to net now is more close to that, you know, $25,000 price. That's what you're going to net each sibling, right? So I didn't tell them that we're dropping the price to 55. I told them what they're going to walk away with. They're going to walk away with 25 because there's closing costs and everything involved. So, I mean, shit, I don't feel like doing the math. Run your numbers. But I told them I had the number written down and I was like, I already had the contract filled out at what it is that they needed. So that's another key thing. Don't fill out the contract in front of them. You understand? Don't fill it out in front of them because it gives them the thought that things can change. But so what we do is those numbers, the price that we want, everything that we want, we print out the contract with those numbers in it. So in that way, when we present it to them, that's the price. That's it. It's printed in there. It's subconsciously or whatever, psychologically, to them, it's set. They can't negotiate that. The number's there. And I told them, I was like, you're pretty much walking away with 25 grand. It's going to be a little more. I was like, this is approximately. I was like, we're going to get the final numbers at closing. I was like, but expect to walk away with a little bit around that 25, a little more than that, instead of what we had discussed. And he was like, oh, man. He's like, you know, that's okay. Because in his mind, it's not $10,000 less. It's about $5,000 less. You understand? Because it went from 65 to 55, but it's divided by two people. So it's $5,000 less. And we already have the contract. We already been doing the title work. So that's how I set it up. I'm like, hey, we're already hauling through title. We got everything going. We got everything finalized. You know, we're getting everything locked up. But this is the last thing that we need. So we can just go ahead and close this up and get you out of this mess, get you away from your sister that's annoying you or whatever. And let's just get it done. He signed, no problem. You understand? It wasn't hard because I'm not going around, you know, beating around the bush or tiptoeing or asking him how he feels. Would this be okay? No, this is the price. This is the new terms. We're in person. I can read his expressions. I can see how he's, you know, taking this. And I saw that while he was a little uncomfortable, he still wants that 25 grand. When I told him 25 is what you're walking away with, his eyes opened up. He was excited. So I knew I had him. So I wasn't even going to budge from that. You understand? I knew he was fine with that. Because, I mean, this is a house that, I mean, it's just sitting there vacant, distressed. You know, they can't do anything with it. They don't want it anymore. So, I mean, now they're walking away with 25 grand and they're getting rid of that headache. So it was a win-win. So summing all this up, again, there's always a reason to renegotiate a contract. There's always something that needs to get renegotiated. So even when you lock in a property, make sure to leave it open. You understand? Never lock in a property and say, I guarantee you 90 grand for this house when you're not 100%. If you're 100% on your numbers, do it all day long. You know, when we renegotiate, we always guarantee them at that point because we already did our due diligence. We know what we're talking about now. But that initial negotiation, there's times like I told you, sometimes I'll get a deal, I'll get a call, and from that call, I head to the property. I haven't even looked at anything, but I'll still get it on the contract. You understand? Because I have an idea of what the area goes for. So then I'll just run some quick numbers and be like, all right, we're kind of in this ballpark. So I tell them, look, my target is going to be to get get you the $80,000 that I'm telling you right now. That's my target. That's what I want to pay you. But I will need to get back to the office, just run some final numbers and make sure that I'm there. Now, there are times where I run my numbers and I can pay you a little more. You know, you say it, but chances are that's not really going to happen. But there are times that I run my numbers, and we might need to adjust a few things here or there, or maybe change the strategy. So I kind of leave it vague enough to leave it open for renegotiations. So leave it open for renegotiations. And when you renegotiate, don't do it over the phone. Don't do it through text. Don't do it through the email. Do it in person. Go in person, set up the meeting, tell them you're going to, like, the best way, you know, if you're not sure how to bullshit your way into it, just tell them, look, there's some inconsistency with the county. Let me just go and I want to just go measure the property to make sure the square footage lines up. Because it's a very common mistake a lot of times we find here, because they'll do an addition that was done, you know, decades ago or whatever, or they'll convert a garage and it doesn't reflect on the county records on the square footage. So it is very possible, and a lot of homeowners tend to accept that excuse a lot more. So you'll go there, take your time measure, make sure to measure a couple rooms out so you do your job. But you're really there to renegotiate. Set the mood, set the, you know, all the standards, work your way into it, and then do your negotiation. And just the renegotiation is always tell them what it is. Don't be unsure of your numbers. Get sure before you get there. And then tell them, I need this price in order to make it work. I know at this price, I can make it work 100%. If I don't get this price, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think I can get it done. Maybe I can shop around, see if I can find some of my other business partners or colleagues in the industry that might be interested in paying a little more for this. I can shop it around a little bit. That also leaves you open to bringing other buyers in. And that's something that we always do every time when we used to wholesale, is I would tell them, like, hey, the only way I can get you this number, this $80,000, is I need to bring in some of my colleagues from the industry that I know buy houses in this area that would be willing to pay this much money. You understand? So that kind of leaves you open to bring in some friends over, you know, not friends, but your buyers over, so they can look at the property as well. And those are just, again, this is how we handle it. This doesn't mean this is how you need to do it. This is just how we've done it and how it's proven to be successful for us. So I hope this episode helps. I hope you know, this made a lot of sense. If anything didn't make sense, or you need some clarifications on anything, or you have a scenario that you want to discuss, you know, shoot me an email or message me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm everywhere. And you know, we can definitely discuss and go over that strategy. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I will catch you guys on the next one.